Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Architect and Podcast. We're a consulting company that publishes a monthly magazine about PHP-related topics. We also host a PHP conference in Chicago every year. In 2027, it's going to be April 27th through the 29th. You can submit to our CFP at cfp.phptech.io. We just recently extended that to end in the end of October instead of the end of this month, so you can still have plenty of time to get your talks submitted. You can buy tickets at phptech.io. And you can also join us live if you're watching us live. You can join us in Discord to chat along with us as the show goes on at discord.phparch.com. You can also check out our swag store at store.phparch.com. This week, once again, Holly and Sarah are joining me. How's it going?
Hello.
It's great. Thanks for asking.
Wow, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Sarah. Not at all. And in case you're not in our Discord, you're missing out that Sarah is sharing a COVID negative test that she probably stole from someone and is probably not at all her own test that she did.
I can neither confirm nor deny the ability to bribe people
for a negative COVID test.
Do you know how to speak in Portuguese to ask for somebody else's COVID test? Do you know how to say that? Worked out.
Eu gostava do teste negativo.
Gonna take your word for it.
Yeah, I don't have a way to prove that or not. So I believe you.
Somebody in the comments can be like, well, that was technically correct, the best kind of correct.
The direct translation's there. That's all that matters.
Oh, that was a solid A2 translation. Sure.
So what's everybody been working on? Anything fun you coding
up? Growth cultures, mostly.
I managed to swap over a client's environment, the production staging and test environments. I swapped them all over to completely new Elastic Beanstalk environments in AWS, and nobody noticed other than me announcing them. Customers didn't notice, which was really cool. We're also in one of the biggest selling seasons for this client, and the production swap over happened and nobody noticed. It's, you know, being able to have load balancers and swapping DNS between load balancers is one of the coolest things about cloud computing that will just kind of never get old for me, is to being able to swap out entire fleets of application servers from behind a CNAME or behind a DNS record, and the clients just don't know. It's fantastic.
I will say two things about that. Number one, my first thought was, yeah, man, a zero downtime upgrade. That's the dream. And right on the heels of that was, oh my God, you're damaged. Thank God you retired.
Well, for this particular client, this is actually the second time in 2 months that I've completely rebuilt this set of servers, because the first migration was getting us off of an older Amazon Linux platform onto a newer one, because the one we were on was going out of support. So we landed that. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, hey, we need to adjust some SSL certificates for one of our security scans. It's like, oh, okay. This isn't that big of a deal. Now that I just spent 2 months putting everything in CloudFormation templates and building supporting scripts to do all of the infrastructure as cloud, or infrastructure as cloud, not code, not infrastructure as cloud. So all of the templates and everything are built. So just swapping it over to another completely new environment was just no big deal. And it's just so cool to me to be able to do that kind of stuff. So that's what I've been working on this past week.
You 100% coined a new term there, infrastructure as cloud. Somebody's going to give that meaning, and it's going to be the new buzzword once AI does whatever it does. Molly, I'm going to let you get to it, but I realized there was something I did work on. I got my 3D printer working. I've been printing up lots of things, including
QR codes.
If you were in the live show, you'd be able to get this. If you're only listening audio, you don't get this.
All right, hold on. I'm going to scan that.
So does that connect to our Wi-Fi, your Wi-Fi?
Oh, I have one of those as well. It's on my fridge. I have one of those on my fridge. No lie. This is, I think it's because the video is reversed. Yes.
It's mirrored. Yeah.
The image is mirrored. Yeah.
It scanned for me. There, I got it.
Oh, viewers are smart. Okay. Sebastian was just at FrostCon, and apparently one of the bits of feedback people had for him is like, there's no donate link for the foundation on the booth. So I'm like, it's not only fun.
That's cool.
I can't get it to them, but I can send the STL for it. So yes, this is PLA with the tried and true multicolor technique of hit the pause button at the right layer and swap out the filament.
Oh, wow. That is the tried and true dual filament methodology there.
Matt, my printer has an upgrade that is just about to come out. I'll give it up to 8 heads, but right now it's a single filament printer.
That's cool.
I want to get into 3D printing, but it's just like, it's another expensive hobby that I'm not going to follow through on.
I have been like adjacent to the PHP, the printing world of our 3D printing world for a really long time, just from being exposed to it in my local makerspace. And it's very much one of those things where I would love to have a 3D printer, but I would hate to work on the 3D printer, and I don't want to tinker with it. Like I'd have to have one of the super fancy ones that doesn't ever jam or it can unjam itself, like the Apple of 3D printers. Cause I just don't want to tinker with it. Right. I found that out when I was flying drones too, is I didn't want to, like, flying drones is great, but what I was actually doing was crashing drones. And when you crash drones, you have to fix them. And that was not what I enjoyed about flying drones.
See, if you had a 3D printer, you could print all the new props you needed all the time.
The first generation of drones that I flew way back in the day, before I even got them into FPV with camera and goggles, I was just flying line of sight drones where they were ABS 3D printed frames. And you would just touch down very, very softly in the grass. You'd break a leg. You'd spend 2 hours rebuilding it.
So this is my fourth 3D printer. Should be my third, but I'll get to that story. They've all been built from kit that have been like prefab. And the last two, the third one, I only just got in 2025. And basically my ex is keeping it because it was easier than moving it across an ocean. So I got another basically of the exact same kind. It's a slightly upgraded version, but it's basically the same thing. And I built both of these from kits, and they are like multi-day assemblies. Like they do not assemble quickly. And on the one I did last year, I got it all together. It looks great, and it would not calibrate. And I am just futzing with this thing and like tweaking all the knobs. And it's just like, oh, your y-axis is not hitting the right things. I just cannot get the thing to calibrate until finally I just tighten those belts down until like they're guitar strings. And then suddenly it's like, hey, wait, you can print fine now. Everything's right. Have a nice day. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the kit again. I'm going to do better this time. And I'm not going to make mistakes. I'm going to calibrate it right off the bat. I get it all together. Fuck it. Still won't calibrate. I'm tying it up. I'm tying it up. I'm tying it up. Suddenly I hear the little holder, a tiny little piece of plastic meant to hold the belt tension pulley in place, just broke apart. I wound up trying to, first I asked people, can I print this part? Because the STLs are available. They're on the manufacturer's website. Should be super easy. Apparently, nobody in Lisbon has a working 3D printer, including people who do it professionally, because they just want to answer their freaking emails. I'll tell you a thing I feel about Portuguese work ethics. Okay. No disrespect. So I'm trying to construct one out of bits of wood that I'm like sanding down and like constructing together. It's like, maybe I can make something to hold this thing in place. And it takes like 3 weeks. I finally just get somebody else to print me another one. So I get the thing in place, put it in, like really carefully tightening it. I wind up taking the entire printhead apart, putting it back together, trying to get the belts in just the right space. Obviously, it's finally working now, and I printed up tons of copies of all of the spare parts I could ever need if they break. But one must have patience to deal
Absolutely.
With
Absolutely.
Must have a great deal of patience.
Yeah, I don't really have the patience for that. That is not... Like, when I was really young, my parents used to buy me these like model car kits. I'm like, I did not. Nope, there's no patience for that. So I will leave all that to you, Sarah. You seem like you enjoy it.
You know, the kits never really interest me. When it, like the model kits never interest me as a kid. But Radio Shack, kids, Radio Shack was this electronic store that sold kits and pieces of things. He sold these little electronics kits that have big springs. You push the spring aside, you stick a wire in the spring, and that holds it in place. And each of these springs will be attached to some electronic component. I thought those things were the shit, man. Like, I could have played with those all day long. Kids today, they use actual breadboards like professionals, but these little kids were nice.
I was about to say, I think I have a breadboard within arm's reach just about.
Yeah, do you ever get jealous? All the kids nowadays have all the nice toys. They've got real breadboards. They have real computers to work on. Like, I did all my hacking on an 8088 laptop that I got at a garage sale, like, third hand. And, like, that was our home computer was a 486 at the time. And, like, I had this little thing I could, like, hack on and run little code because my parents wouldn't let me mess with the good computer. But, all my kids have all the greatest toys, and they're good at it. Like, my middle son, he does robotics with FIRST Robotics, and he's really good at it. But I'm so jealous.
Well, yes and no. Because I was at the Raspberry store in Cambridge a couple of months ago, and they actually have essentially a spiritual successor to the kind of kid I was talking about. Mm-hmm. But the components that you put together, it's not like, I'm going to make the entire circuit from individual diodes and transistors and things. It is, I'm going to put a jumper from here to here. That's now connected to the GPS to the single board computer. Yay, I've built something. There's something missing from that. Like a big something missing from that. Even
like
just
soldering
building
your components.
PCs. No, building PCs today is you have a motherboard, CPU, memory, maybe video card. In my day, it was not much more. It was motherboard, CPU, memory, and then probably a serial parallel card, a modem, video card, definitely video card, because there was no such thing as built-in. And, you know, maybe one or two other things, but it wasn't that much more.
Your sound card. This was before the sound card integration.
Sound card, yes, yes, yes. You need your sound blaster in there, absolutely. Good callback. I forgot the sound blaster, yeah. And you definitely didn't have networking. Your serial port was your network. and I'm not even joking about that, because I did have null cables running between rooms. In my first apartment, has to turn of the century. Good God.
I spent like a year and a half trying to get DHCP to work. So I convinced my mother at one point, we had built several computers in our house. We had three computers up and running near each other, and we were trying to get a networking kit running. So we had Ethernet going, and we had IPX working over it. And I spent a year of my life trying to get DHCP to work. And ultimately, I just had to like give up and hard code IP addresses because I couldn't figure it out with Windows 95. Like it was.
Like, what year was this?
That was 97.
Okay. 97, DHCP was still a bit new. Like, not new, but like it was really common to still be using static addresses because DHCP CD was not as polished as it is today.
Yeah. Well, it was also, again, all three computers. I didn't have a server. I didn't have Linux knowledge that I have now. I didn't have any of that. Like, trying to do that with Windows 95 at the time, like, I'm just going to find this. And again, no, like, internet was over dial-up, so how much time are you really spending online to search for this kind of stuff? Yeah. What are you sharing in chat here now?
Well, we were talking about 3D printing a bit before, so I wanted to share the first real project I did with my 3D printer, and that is these little blue bits that's holding up the power supply and Thunderbolt that brings my whole monitor together. So I just have a single cord coming down. That's my Thunderbolt port that goes to my laptop, and it's very clean, and I'm very happy with it. So I just wanted to throw that in the chat. And you're missing that if you're not at discord.phpr.com.
You're also missing, Eric is in chat here saying that back in his day, he had to bang rocks together to build a program. You know, punch cards be damned.
Okay, when I have seen it, physical punch cards, when I worked at the university, there were stacks and stacks of punch cards still sitting in the basement of the human resources building where I worked. And like, we're talking about turn of the century. This is not that far back. And they've just, records. Those are the records. They've got to keep the punch cards around, apparently. I don't know why, but because data goes on punch cards too.
All right, I have something I'm going to have to grab here for you, just at, on the line of really old computers. Give me a sec here. Drop me from camera here for a second.
One second.
Oh, Holly's got a surprise.
Uh-oh.
It's going to be an Enigma machine or something crazy like that, which would be dope as hell. I have seen an actual Enigma machine in person. I don't know if it was like a 50s, 60s era replica or if it was like an original, but it had the look and feel of an OG Enigma. It's cool, you know.
All right, give me a thumbs up when you're ready, Holly.
Oh, yes, for those not watching.
I have a few things that I have a lot of old things I keep around because junk. You know, I mean, the vacuum cleaner right here should say a lot too, but these are. See, I know they're great. Those who are missing, I know. Hard drive platters from a old hard drive that's probably, I don't know what size or whatever these are, but like I used to have these mounted on my wall forever, and they are just the greatest thing. Like they just decorate really well.
Brown goes with everything.
But what are these? Like they're like a foot across. And so, yeah, I'd love to have seen those back in the day. But the kind of trash.
Now, have you taken a magnetic probe across that to see if any data has actually survived? I doubt it. Not coherently, but like there's got to be a few bits that are just like, that's right. We booked the JM1970.
I am personally responsible for there probably not being any because I'm like, I wonder if those are magnetic. And yes, they are magnetic, but I've probably wiped
it. It would be.
Unfortunately. But yeah, those are like one of the things I use. They're just decoration in the other room, but.
Not when you handle them with the lobster claws. That's not going to let the magnet.
Right.
So, yeah, I've got all kinds of old tech around here.
Like, yeah, I left these on top of the microwave, and for some reason, they're just not reading the way they used to anymore. I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe I need to format them again. Create a new file system.
I mean, these are like low density enough. I bet you could actually like write data to them with a needle and a magnet manually, like bit one, bit two, just if you could draw the lines on there.
That was what I was thinking. It's like they are low density enough. Like, you know, there could be enough little pockets that have held on to that field well enough. Kind of hopeful, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have that. I don't have that kind of fine motor control. Probably why I can't be a surgeon. If I could like control a robot, maybe I could do that. But
there's a little robot, little super motors in there.
You got to program the robot to do that with G-code. This is a solvable problem. we have the tools.
3D print yourself a little housing for it.
Hey, welcome back to chat, TJ. Love to have you back.
Well, he made it not only back to chat, but he made it back to Discord, which just proves that you can also join us at discord.phparch.com. It is possible. I believe in you.
Where's A Woods today? I don't think we're. Did we get him to like call in sick or something? I thought he was required to be in chat.
Well, A Woods is contractually required to be in chat. He was disappointed he's not here.
I thought he was there earlier. Maybe not.
He says, Eric. We are now putting this in the audio podcast. We should probably trim it from the video podcast.
You might overestimate how much post goes into this.
Well, I know who your HR manager is, so maybe we'll find
out. Right. See what I have to put up with? I haven't talked to poor John in like 2 weeks. Eric just like won't even let him talk in meetings. It's ridiculous.
John tried to tell me something earlier. He's like, hey, I got a secret to tell you. I'm like, don't tell me. I cannot keep a secret. He's like, oh, I was looking forward to telling him. I'm like, don't. I have no ability to keep secrets. Don't tell me anything you don't want me to know. I hear like every once in a while you hear of like podcasters who have like you know, non-disclosure agreements or whatever, they've been briefed on new products ahead of like the Apple announcement earlier this week. And they're like trying to talk on their podcast and they can't say anything about it. And like, just they never can do that to me. I have no ability to keep that to myself. If I found out like 2 hours in advance, I'm like, guys, guess what? I've got some news.
See, it's much easier with me because I forget everything like 10 minutes after you've told me. And then later, you know, something comes out. They'd be like, oh, wow. Hey, Sarah, did you know about that? I'm like, maybe. Rings a bell. Like, yes.
This is why Sarah knows everything. And she just forgets it.
Mind is like a vault. Or Roach Motel or something. I don't know.
It's locked and there's nothing comes in or out.
Check in, they don't check out. It's more like a piggy bank. You can put all the facts in you want, but you have to break my brain to get them out.
See, if something triggers me, though, like if I'm listening to whatever, I've got nothing going on, I'm a great, and then like a song or something, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that thing that happened 35 years ago. It'll just pop back out. I have no ability to filter at that point. Or same thing, like we'll be talking here and be like, oh yeah, something came up and I have to talk about it now and I can't keep a secret or else I'll explode. Yeah.
That's healthy, right? Internalize everything. That's what the doctors tell you to do.
So
I think PhD says I have trust issues and I don't move on to. Yes, let's move on. We have topics. What do we talk about? What language is this? Is it Golang? Talk about the gopher mascot.
Golang has a new release that just came out. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, let's totally talk about that and make it a bad. Let's not even mention PHP. I'm going to change my background.
I mean, it actually is PHP relevant here. Golang, before they added to their structs, you could have generic structs. You could have generic functions. They did not have support for generic methods. They added it in their newest release just a couple days ago now. Wasn't able to get this
in. I haven't touched Go in a little while, but last time I touched Go, the only thing a method was sort of an ad hoc decoration on a struct anyway. So,
I mean, it's about the dispatch and how like you have to declare a like this kind of parameter to it. But yeah, it does exist.
Okay, but then why would that be different from functions? So. Maybe I need to see what the hell's happening.
Like, I can't. I don't want to go into that. A, live. B, on the air.
Surprise, everyone. We're learning Go today. Some live coding. Let's go.
So, I mean, you can see the syntax there. It's that, like, return. It looks like it's a return parameter, but, like, the R star rand, that's how you declare, like, what this is called on.
Okay. Yeah, that looks familiar.
So, like, just if you remove that parameter, generics work fine on a function, but now it's a method because it has that declaration there, and that wasn't a thing. But now they added it, so you can do that now.
Well, this is what I was getting at, because the sort of declarative distinction between a method and a function is literally just that this parameter.
Yeah.
It's weird that they wouldn't have just supported both at the same time.
All of Go is weird.
Okay, fair. You know what? No further questions.
You know, no, that's I like Go. I really do, except for it's weird in like the opposite direction that PHP is weird. So every time somebody's like, oh yeah, that's a Go solution, I'm like, well, that means we screwed up. Let's go the other direction.
Yeah, I'll be respecting. I did like a lot of the things I saw when I was playing around with it. I never found any reason to stick with it. That's all. Didn't have the use case for it.
The last time I used Go was before they actually had generics at all. And so then like I wrote up my generics proposal in PHP that's like getting hotly debated and I'm getting flamed for. And they're like, hey, well, Go did it with the square brackets. I'm like, Go doesn't even have generics. And I looked, I'm like, oh shit, that came out. I didn't even know about it. like everyone's got generics except for Go. And like, oh no, Go's got them too. But
today I freaking learned. Okay, let's go.
Well, so just to talk about what Eric was talking about, Eric said he had breaking news and he did not have time. It was so breaking news, he didn't have time to show me this before the show. But if you have an account on phparch.com, if you've ever subscribed to the magazine, according to Eric, even if you don't have a current subscription or just an old account, you should now have access to the magazine publication from 2021 and 2022 and everything before then. So just logging in, clicking on the magazine tab, going back through 2025, 24, 23, 21, 22, 2020, 2019. Yep, it just keeps going back. So let's see how far back to that.
You know,
going back pretty far.
I was going to say, there was a talk at PHP Tech 2026. I believe Eric Mann did it. Talked about text embedding and searchability. That might be a nice feature we could add here. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, there is a new version of phparch.com coming. I have seen the beta side of it, and I'm not going to name any names, but I'm pretty sure Eric's waiting on John.
No names. Two names.
No names. But when I asked Eric about it, he said he was waiting on John to test something.
We need more cover models for the issues. I mean, the less than sign is great and all, but I think
so. This is So this is the oldest PDF that I have access to on my account. And we don't have special like employee accounts or anything. I'm just a regular account on phbarch.com. So the old Ziv Starosky, talking about performance management opportunities with PHP.
You say it's the oldest one you have access to, but at the top it literally says volume one issue. One.
Yeah, maybe this is
maybe this is the reason that's the oldest one you have access to.
Possibly so.
What version of PHP would have actually been current in that? Here, flip a couple pages forward. Let's see what we
got. Would it be five something?
Five.
It would have to be five, but like five what?
Well, no. Maybe not.
Or is this?
No.
Just do a search for version. With the release of RC2 at the end. Oh, PHP 4.3 inches nearer. With the release of RC2 at the end of November, the new PHP version 4.3 is one step from its final release.
That's in November 2002. I think that was the month I put my first patch into PHP. And we were definitely in late PHP 4 period there. This is the version that gave you streams. Well, I mean, unified streams anyway. We had file access before this.
So this is pretty cool. So if you have an account on phbarch.com, you have access to go download this and check this out, this time capsule. And not just the time capsule, you can go back and get some of the newer stuff too. Some of the more recent stuff from 2021, 2022. You can even go and probably find some articles I wrote, which you can probably just skip over. Those probably aren't any value.
The one and only article I wrote will be in there somewhere. I want to say February 2006, but I'm not sure.
February 2006?
I think that's what it was. Nope, wrong issue. I'll find it later when I recover my account, because I actually don't remember my account is either. In a while.
Is it linked to your AOL email?
No, it would have been... Sarah, it would have been Yahoo. Come on, she's got standards.
2006 was the last year that I worked for Yahoo, so very likely. Well, it would have been Yahoo. No, it would have been on one of my personal accounts. I would not have put that crap on a work account.
Well, in case you don't know what was going on with PHP 4.3, I certainly don't, but what is going on with a recent version of PHP we can talk about, and that would be PHP 8.6. And there is a blog post that our own Eric Van Johnson wrote. Don't get too excited. Don't give him a big head. He will stress out about that, and he will tell everybody in Slack. But what we're talking about in this blog post is the PHP 8.6 soft feature freeze passed this past week, or actually 2 weeks ago. And it just covers what's locked in, what's coming, and for sure in 8.6, and what's kind of on the fence. And the most recent stuff, Beta 2 went out this week, not today, actually. Beta 2 for 8.6 is out, and a lot more deprecations landed. So there's a lot more deprecations and a few other things landed that were not in Beta 1. So if you're feeling froggy, feel free to go grab Beta 2 and test drive it. Let us know what you find. Hopefully you don't find any bugs. We haven't had any major reports yet, so everything's going pretty well there.
You know what? I have one code change that was merged into 8.6, and I don't see it mentioned at all in here, Eric. Thanks a lot.
God damn it, Eric. You had one freaking job.
One job. That was it.
Uh-oh. We got John joining now, too. Everybody's talking nice about John now.
Eric must have pinged him and said, oh, they're talking about you.
You've summoned him.
Oh, he's with his kid in the Warhammer store. That's awesome.
That is actually awesome. That's a good use of your time, John. I salute you, sir.
So TJ and Eric mentioned it, and I was somewhat unaware of this until Holly dropped this on me today, but apparently TypePHP is a thing.
It is, and from reports, it's quite quick. I'm a little dubious of the claims on the quite quickness, but if it's true...
I'm kind of skeptical as well on the claims, primarily because the only thing I've seen so far are console CLI apps. I haven't actually seen anybody build a traditional web app with this. And I read through this README. I watched a video on it, and I still come away thinking that the people who authored this and the people who find this who find this useful and functional are writing a very completely different style of PHP than I'm trying to write. And I worry that most of the other people writing PHP aren't trying to write PHP like this either.
Yeah. What I want to see is Laravel apps and WordPress sites and things like that. How are they performing on it? And it will not surprise me if they do perform a little bit faster. Like, I would even not be too dubious about like a 50% gain. That wouldn't be completely out of hand. But yeah, somewhere in here, I've heard like an 8x gain, and I'm going to need some better data to support that.
So I would go back to why PHP exists, why Perl exists, why any CGI code exists in the first place. Because like, if you go back to Apache 1 and all that, why did we not write everything in C back then? And the reason was because if you ran an external program that had to be launched for every request, the time it takes to read that program from disk, launch it, load it into memory, that is all non-trivial amounts of time. And so like, if they're compiling PHP down to a native binary that is then going to be placed someplace into this pipeline, I wonder what we're trading off at that, and if there's going to be a per request cost. Because
I would be very surprised if it was a per request cost. I would doubt that a lot.
I would hope not, but also like, I know the multi-threading is not okay. Multi-threading works, but not for all modules, and that is a whole mess I don't want to talk about. But I really wonder what there's going to be as far as actual performance, like, because most of PHP code is reading a file, like it's not doing billion row challenge in PHP. The other part is like, people who are sensitive to the performance aren't choosing PHP in the first place. Those are the people using Go and who are using those kinds of more compiled languages already for their servers. So I don't know what place this holds, even though I think it's really cool. And I absolutely understand getting so frustrated with internals that you just like, screw it, I'm going to do my own thing. Not that I would ever, ever do that. But
I'm definitely never on a project that did exactly that. Definitely not.
And see, that was another one of my comments when Holly brought this up. Not that I'm trying to like harsh on Holly's idea. I'm not trying to harsh on type PHP. But if you're going to build a competing runtime, because that's what I'm assuming this is, right? That this is just a competing runtime. You're compiling everything down to a binary and then you're executing that binary. That's very different than PHP FPM, right? So I don't know that you're going to get a lot of widespread company support from this without some big player in the market saying, oh, this is cool, let's see if this benefits our use case, and then they go rewrite whatever services they have in this, whether they're replacing console services or they're replacing web requests, whatever, right? The use case for this may lean more into console based applications, which I mean, I admit I love building console applications in PHP just because it's so much fun and their tooling is so good these days. So maybe this is that next evolution. But I worry that trying to have this engine competition with PHP just is going to lead to abandonware at the end of the day.
There's a couple things I want to say on that. First off is competing runtime. It is maybe implying something that's not there. Like, we're all open source friends. We're cooperating. I would even say HTTPM and PHP cooperated in a more synergistic way than antagonistic way. There was some antagonism, but like, the HTTPM was launched with a whole bunch of PHP's code inside it. It was lifted because you don't want to rewrite the entire runtime at once. And PHP absolutely, undeniably benefited from some of the research work that HTTPM did. And that's why PHP 7 is twice the speed of PHP 5. And I'm sure there's going to be the same sort of give and take and benefit coming out of this, no matter what actually results in it. And the second thing I want to say is that, like, you know, I know I kind of took a poop on the speed claims right off the bat, and that's just because I wanted to set a little bit of the tone, but, like, I am really excited to have another player on the scene. I was super excited, even as a dual PHP stan, to be able to help bring HTTPM onto the scene as well, because I'm like, two runtimes is better than one. It is friendly competition, but it is also just pushing the ecosystem, pushing the envelope. Everyone's going to benefit if there's actual, again, I hate using these terms because they sound so antagonistic, but competition, you know, this will be good for BHP. It's kind of sad that HVM really doesn't exist in BHP's world anymore. It's just its own thing. But in terms of like ecosystem adoption, even though HVM never had 100% compatibility, you couldn't just grab any old product and know that it was going to run seamlessly on HVM because it's a completely different extension API and we didn't have all the extensions available, blah, 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 blah. I think Slack's is still using them on top of Facebook, obviously. Wikipedia was running it as their front-end web server for quite a while, basically until 7 came on and got established and like, cool, we can go back to reference now because we were getting those games anyway. But like with the right amount of support so that you're not having to rewrite everything, because you mentioned you're like, you wouldn't have to invest too much. I mean, that was the idea with HHVM. You didn't have to invest too much. In theory, your code would just run, just actually run. So if this can get to a point where it is reliably usable for off-the-shelf applications or even a given company's application, maybe they have to make one tiny little tweak to make it run, then great. That means that we will have some kind of ecosystem adoption so we can see those comparisons and see how things actually behave. In the end, there was one patch we had to submit to WordPress to make it work correctly with HHVM because WordPress was depending on a case-insensitive constant, which for performance reasons, we didn't want to support in HHVM. So we said, do you really need that? How badly do you need it? Could you just have two that are all upper and all lower? Yeah, okay, fine. Let's just do that.
And if you're struggling with old and outdated PHP code, boy, do I have a message for you.
Whether you're building your next great PHP application or maintaining solutions that your business depends on, PHP Architect Consulting is here to help. Our expert consulting team can assist with architecture performance, modernization, security, and solving your toughest web development challenges. We embed directly as your engineering team, ensuring seamless integration and support. Together, we'll elevate your existing skills or build robust solutions that meet your business needs. Visit phparch.com to learn more about our consulting services. Subscribe to the magazine and register for PHP Tech. That's phparch.com.
I wasn't too eager, or I was trying not to be too eager with that, Sarah, but I was also trying to slide it in before Eric yelled at me.
And that's completely fair. And if you need to signal that to me, you know where the back channels are. You can signal that crap.
Fine.
That was the first thing I did. It's like, oh shit, did I miss a back channel ping about that?
Not at all. So yes,
absolutely fair.
I think it's cool that people are playing with this or experimenting with this kind of thing. If it gains adoption and people find value in it, I think that's cool too. So yeah, let's see what people do with it. Let's see what comes with it. Who knows? Maybe this is the next FrankenPHP. Maybe this is the next FPM runtime, whatever, specifically for consoles. So maybe there are huge gains to be had in this. And honestly, I've been struggling with a client app and queue runners the past couple months with large workloads. And, you know, if it makes that better, I'm here for it because I could definitely use some help in that regard.
But if it turns out it's really just CLI, still good for CLI.
Yeah, that's still fine too, right? Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah.
This originated, as I understand it, because of the failed generics proposal in the last kind of cycle. But I don't actually see generics as part of this. Is there a generic syntax in the type PHP that I haven't found yet?
I haven't gotten that far.
If there's not, it might be something they're playing to add, but they need to have like the base down first so that they can then play around with the new syntax. That was definitely a thing with HVC. So we needed something that would be performant first, and then we can play the syntax later. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm fighting back of my urge to like, let me tell you about monomorphized generics.
I swear to God, if you bring up monads, and I know that's not related, but there's a meme behind that. I swear to God.
I think there's an XKCD behind that too.
in the Venn diagram of people who understand what monads are and our audience is like a perfect circle.
Totally is.
Somebody listening to this podcast just perked up when they heard monads. They're like, wait, it's my time. They're talking to me.
They're not even listening to the podcast. They're just like, right. Monads in trouble.
This video is getting added to their YouTube feed because we said monad.
Claude is just like scouring the internet looking for mentions of monads.
Pretty sure that's how the internet works. Yeah.
Add to subscription. Yeah.
Yes.
So starting up a podcast, that's the secret. Just say monad in the first episode.
It's better than Shirley MacLaine.
Just thinking.
Eric Mann in the chat here. I apologize. I do see you there. I feel like I summoned you just by talking about the embedded text in the first place. So, like, I'm glad to have you here joining. But, yeah.
Always good to see a friend of the show, Eric Mann.
Yeah, Eric's cool. I like Eric. He's funny.
There we go. We're gonna implement a PHP compiler in Haskell. Haskell.
Blackjack and other things. And monads.
Just because we can doesn't mean we should. But you know what? Somebody out there would be really excited.
Did you just invoke Jeff Goldblum? Because that completes this.
I did.
Spent so much time thinking about monolithic, monoformic, whatever things were. You did this talk to wonder if you should.
Yep. We're going to, if I have $165,000, I'm going to rewrite PHP in Rust as well.
Why $165,000?
That's oddly specific.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this like a couple of weeks ago that the Bun did a rewrite. The Bun engine did a rewrite in Rust using the Claude LLMs. And that was
depending on who you ask, it's not going well.
Well, that's it. It's exactly. Who you ask is what decides if it's going well or not. And, like, on the one hand,
they spent on tokens.
What's that?
Is that what they spent on tokens?
Well, yes. One by Anthropic. So, like, they just threw that number out there. Like, this is how many tokens they burned. Like, I burned $6,000 worth of tokens last month. And it was covered under my $100 subscription. So I don't know, like, the values kind of.
Oh, wait. When you say you burned 6,000 in tokens, nobody actually paid for that? That was just...
Right, so like if I were paying, like if I look at how many tokens I spent last month on my Claude subscription, and I do the math of like if I were paying per token, it would be like $6,000.
Okay. So, but you're bundling them and okay.
It's a bundle, like... What's that ad from the 90s?
No. bundle and save is what is etched in my brain. It's probably some cell phone company or service company that did that to me.
I think it's like cable TV or somebody like that who's like, look, you can bundle your home phone service and your internet and your TV. You bundle and save. Like, that's what I'm picturing.
I mean, bundle and save as a term is not one that is like causing mental distress for me, but like definitely. So I got my phone from Portugal last December, and I walked into an office and I said, look, I just need a Portuguese number. I just need an eSIM to go to my phone so I can actually like give people my phone number and have it be the right country code. And that's all I need. It's just like, cool, done. Here you go. Here's a physical SIM. God damn it. How do I get this new eSIM? Well, you need a phone you can put it in. I don't have a phone I can put it in. Never mind. That's a separate rant. 4 months ago, I moved to this apartment. I got like actual fiber, like wired internet. Within days, I kept getting so many calls wanting to sell me in Portuguese, of course, a bundle for my internet. And like, I only want internet. I don't need cable TV. I don't need a landline. But I'm having to have this conversation in worse Portuguese than I speak now, which is still pretty bad. I gets there. Really not good English, because why should they even expect them to speak English? Look, cable companies, I don't freaking care about landlines. It is the year of our Lord, 2026, and I am not a boomer, okay? Don't let the gray hair fool you. This is what Gen X looks like now.
It's true.
Sorry. That was my Eric ranting the day. I need a little graphic for that.
It's a new segment of the show.
We no longer have doom and gloom. We now Sarah have Eric Channel's rant.
Wait, what is that on?
I say it's not doom and gloom like the PHP Ugly had. We are now just having Gen X rants for the day.
What's week this week? Gen X rant of the week.
Other shows have pick of the week. We have rant of the week. There we go.
Well, you're Gen X, you're millennial. You're millennial, aren't you?
I was born in 83, so I am right on that cusp.
Millennial, but cusp of Xennial? Yeah, okay. Yep. I'm at the other end of the Xennial cusp.
It is. It was a good time. My school got internet when I'm in seventh grade, and like I was already programming and doing stuff since then. So like it was good. We had to dial long distance to get internet. That's how old I am. And how far out?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
I felt that only one. Any of
the computers in my high school were connected to the internet. I had a full length 14 4K modem by about a year out of high school. With massive dip switches.
All right, I got to throw a question here to Eric Mann. He posted in the chat about he has a max plan for himself, but for work, he has to pay per token, spends $250 a day. Have the new Apple Max computers, et cetera, started to factor into like doing your own on-prem AI processing? Has that ever been a thought that like the new hardware is going to make you host your own or anything like that?
I've been trying, and for me, running local is not going well at all. I have an M4 with 32 gigs of RAM, so it's not the best scenario for this, for like running Ollama model. I've been trying to run Ollama through Claude's harness because Claude Code is just what I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. So trying to do that has not gone really well. And then I was trying Qwen 3.8 most recently, and it didn't go well for me. I think I need to talk to Eric because Eric's saying he's been doing a crap ton locally, and he has a DGX Spark.
Ooh,
I've been looking at those as well myself, I will say.
I know Leo Lepore on one of his podcasts talked about he just had ordered 2 DGX Sparks, and now he's like, I'm returning those and getting a one of the new M5 Max with like 256 RAM.
Sorry, Leo Lepore is still alive?
He is.
He was my age 30 years ago. How the hell is he still alive? I mean, he's the age I am now 30 years ago.
I grew up watching him on the screensavers. I love Leo Lepore. Like, it's just something about his voice.
I know exactly what you're talking about. He's 95. I'm just amazed he hasn't like crumbled into dust by now.
I mean, I'm only hearing him on an audio podcast, so maybe he's dead and it's just like an AI recreation of his voice. I can't say for sure. I don't really want to speak for sure. I mean, we should message Jason Snell, like a Jason Snell actually podcast with him, so I'm sure that they have some sort of way of finding that out.
Well, I don't. Just look this up online. He's alive. His current age, I will allow you to follow this up, is 69.
Nice.
Thank you. And Joe apparently looked it up too because he was ready.
I did. I was going to queue it up if you didn't, so.
Yeah. One of us had to.
Honestly, like, I guess I thought he would be older than that. Not that I'm... Again, I thought 20 years ago he was older than that. Like, I think he was...
He had gray hair early, I think. Because I remember him with gray hair. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And maybe that's why we think of him as just being ancient at this point, because he was old then, when in reality he wasn't that old.
Perceptions, I guess. Yeah, I think it's the gray that did it. But then, you know, I know anything about gray hair. Christ. Do you roots coolness? Holy crap.
All right, I've got to ask for details here. Maybe we need to get Eric Mann on to talk one of these days of what he's working on lately. But he's doing model training. Kind of curious what training I would be using predefined models for everything. I guess I'm using like Qwen 3.8 myself locally. I'd be curious what kinds of things he's doing there. That's it. We're going to have Eric Mann on.
What's your setup there with Qwen? What are you using for harness and for managing the model and all that fun stuff?
So mostly I am not doing coding with it yet. I'm just trying to like send things into it and asking it to analyze my own content. So I'm building my own harness for it, which is not fun, not recommended. And I don't want to recommend that to anybody, but it does.
I can see that for sure.
Look, I mean, if I didn't go too bad, I mean, I'm going to be as gray as like Sarah or even like Leo Laporte was 20 years ago. So let's go with that. No, it is pulling my hair out a little bit. Just like, oh, like all the things you take for granted that Claude can do. Like, no, there's so much in that harness that.
I think that's the other thing that's causing me frustration is I'm just so spoiled by everything Claude wraps up in a nice little package for me. And I'm just sitting here going, wait, I have to do this myself. It's a kid's toy, right?
That's it. Like I could throw, like I just am running a little 16 gig model. It's not even 16 gigs. Quinn 3.8 is like 13 or something, but like, I'm just throwing it out there. Like what can I do with this? That's not a toy. And it's a toy. And I'm, the same thing, like I could have a 3D printer, like this is the most fanciest 3D printer I've got. What do you do with it? Like I build little action figures in Barbie doll armor. I don't know. Like,
and that's still cool. That's still awesome. No shade there.
So like with respect to the 3D printing craft, I actually just printed this. It is a belt clip that I made for my insulin pump.
Nice.
Usually I'll stick it in my pocket, but sometimes I don't have pockets and it's nice to have a clip.
I miss pockets. I could have a whole like rant about that. Like that's, people ask me what the hardest part of my transition was, and it was like giving up pockets. Like I can't stand that.
Should be a warning on the label or something. It caused the transition label.
Yeah, a little bottle of estrogen may cause loss of pockets. What the hell?
Yeah. A pocket shrinkage at the least. Because
I was in the pool.
I was so not going to that. Sorry.
It was going so well.
But legitimately talking about
that. No, this episode didn't start well. Let's not lie about that. This episode started in the gutter. It stayed in the gutter. And we're just rolling around in the dirt.
Okay, so moving on to Holly's pocket. Anything else to say about PHP?
I will mention, let me pull up my little graphic here. Oh, that was the wrong thing. That was also the wrong thing. Whoop. Yep. What am I even doing here? So today there was another PHP Foundation meeting for the Ambassador SIG, the Special Interest Group. And today was focused on the speaker subgroup of that Special Interest Group, specifically talking about this proposal that Jim Sikand has been working on. There's a PR open. If you're interested, you can go read it. Essentially what the goal is this document will outline how the foundation can essentially, give accreditation to specific people who meet the requirements to speak on behalf of, the foundation on PHP. And the goal of this program is to kind of create this list of accredited speakers that can be tapped depending on their geographic region to go to specific events in their regions so that we, one, get more people sharing a consistent message about PHP from the PHP Foundation, as well as making sure we're not burning out speakers and making sure that we're kind of being responsible of sending people to events that are close to them and not having to have somebody fly halfway across the world when there's four other speakers that could easily do the similar talk. So it's a really great effort. I've been sitting in on this meeting a little bit just to kind of like, not that I'm any amazing speaker, but I've been fortunate enough to speak at a lot of events. And my goal in this is just to kind of help essentially promote the diversity and try to get what, once this is done, try to spread the diversity of this message of trying to get more diverse speakers into the PHP space and talking about PHP.
Yeah. And I just want to boost James Cohen a little bit here. This is an area he's been really, really interested in. He's been a big booster of the foundation in general. He was approaching me at PHP Day 2 years ago about the 2 years, no, 1 year ago, 1 year ago about this stuff. Time is a weird wibbly wobbly. Yeah, so I want to boost him a little bit. I am sorry I missed this meeting. It was not on my calendar. I need to figure out how to make sure these things are on my calendar because it's very annoying when I miss these things.
Don't ask Joe to send you a calendar invite. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait, I didn't send you a calendar invite. I sent you a calendar. I sent you an invite to the calendar, but I did not actually invite you to any of the events. If you're referring to our podcast calendar that I created.
You did. That is a calendar invite. Technically, I'm just going to say.
It is.
I was not trying to slide into your inboxes any more than I needed to.
You know, I screenshotted that conversation in our chat and sent it to my siblings. And like, look, I'm not, you guys aren't the only ones I'm jerks to. Apparently I'm a jerk to Joe too here.
That's fine.
Yeah. But so what if we want to fly halfway around the world to a conference?
I think that's totally fine. I think if you have the ability to do so, you definitely should. And speaking on that, there is a fantastic reason to go to Belgium in January in 2027. And that's the fact that PHP Benelux has been announced. It's the first time since January 2020, since COVID, that they are doing another PHP conference or another PHP Benelux. So
I assumed you were just talking about FOSDEM. Holy crap. Benelux. No, but, hell yeah.
They just announced it today. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's an easy $8,000 and change for me to fly to Belgium to Antwerp. I don't know that I'm going to be doing that, but yeah, if you have the ability to go to Belgium, you know, for a PHP conference, that's a fantastic one. And I'm just excited about that
next
one.
Door.
PHP Architects sending you to that one, right?
I don't know.
I haven't heard Joe or Eric say no, so let's just go with that. And unless they say something like right now, we'll just assume that they're going to do that for you.
No, we got to be a little bit more careful with that.
All right, it's a good time to end the show now.
Yeah, I got to submit a talk, yo.
Without denying. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, so Benelux, I've never been to Benelux. I've never been to Europe. But it's always held a very special place in my heart because of Michelangelo Van Damme was one of the organizers for so long.
I hope Michelangelo is involved in this.
Yeah, and he was such a huge pivotal part of me being involved in the PHP community just because he was always so welcoming and he was doing so much to get people to show up for the PHP community. So Benelux is one of those things. It's like, I've never been, but I know it's run by good people just because of the things that I've seen and what I've heard from speakers and what I've heard from attendees. It's a great event.
Dude, it's a massive community booster, man. I fucking love Michelangelo. Sorry. Yeah. I was going to try and not swear, but you just blew my mind. Merry Christmas all at once. I'm so excited.
Fantastic.
I don't even think I've seen Michelangelo in at least 10 years. My God. Okay. Yes. It's about to end the show. What are we at? About an hour? Awesome.
Yeah. Anything else we want to talk about?
Okay. So Walton Goggins, right?
Walton Goggins.
There was an actor who looks a lot like him, but his voice is kind of a little more nasally, a little more down here. And he was really popular in the 90s. And I can't for the life of me remember the name of this actor. If anybody's got his name, chat, like, help me out. Because you saw how it was last week with Shirley MacLaine. That was going to kill me. At least I knew the movie I was looking for.
And it's not Bruce Greenwood.
It's not Bruce Greenwood, no.
Not Bruce Greenwood.
If I say some random name next week, know that that's what I was talking right. about. Yeah.
So, I mean, is there any like quote from him or anything that you can match it up with?
That's the thing. He's a supporting actor, so he's just like doing like... He's the that guy role. He's not somebody who like stands out specifically as like, oh, that's that guy. No, I don't need to know this. I don't care who he is. But for some reason, Walton Goggins keeps coming up and I keep thinking it's that same guy and it's not. So that's throwing me off. Or maybe it is. No, it's not.
Well, okay, all right. So if I gave you a name right now, how would you know if it's him or not?
You just know.
We have poorly defined success. This ticket is never going to be able to pass review.
We have poorly defined success. Yes.
Acceptance criteria is very lacking in this Jira ticket.
No, I'll look up what he's been in. I'll be like, is that a win? No.
At like 2 a.m., there's going to be just a random all caps message with somebody's name from Sarah in Discord. And probably
watch my Mastodon accounts.
Yeah.
I'll probably put it on the files to download. It's not quite PHP related, I don't think.
All right, last call. All right, thanks for watching. Join us in Discord at discord.phparch.com. If you want to come see us in Chicago next year, come see us at PHP Tech, phptech.io. And subscribe to the magazine, subscribe to the audio versions of the podcast. You can get all of that at phparch.com.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.